Welcome to Gap to Gap Radio. This is our Let's Talk Softball edition, where Ron Ray of Future Stars of Sports and myself, Holly Knight, will talk all things softball. Before we begin, let's have a few disclaimers. All opinions expressed on this show are the property of the individual expressing that opinion and may or may not be the opinion of National Fast Pitch Academy, Gap to Gap Radio, Holly Knight, Future Stars of Sports, or Ron Ray. Also, we are not doctors or medically trained, and any opinion on the impact of COVID-19 on the individual's health or the health of our society is just that, an opinion, and is not intended as advice. So if you're listening to the show live and have questions or comments, you can call in live at 516-666-9488. If you prefer to text Ron, his number is 502-541-0103, or you can text me at 502-262-9195. Also, you can send a message in the chat window at the bottom of your screen. So now that the business is out of the way, let's get started with the show. Okay, everyone, I hope everybody's having a good day. I thought I would save some energy and have my own little recording there to open up everything, kind of get started, to change the music up a little bit. Good things to come. I see that Ron is here. Ron, how you doing? Good morning or good afternoon.
I'm doing pretty well. Fighting something here. I don't know what's going on, allergies or something, but overall, I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah, you. I don't know if you want to share this at all, but I think you have recent experience on the process of getting tested, I understand.
Yes, I was fighting something over the weekend, and just for precautionary reasons, I did go have a COVID test Tuesday, and fortunately, it came back negative. But it's quite a process. But I'm glad that I did it for peace of mind. Wasn't so concerned about myself personally, but some of the guys that work for me and some friends that I have. That I am around quite a bit, I would say, are high risk. So therefore, I felt the need that I needed to make sure that I was okay, so I could be around them and be around them safely. But it's a process. There's no doubt.
Yeah, it takes a while and all kinds of things. Did you do the one where they stuck the thing up your nose, or was it saliva? Which one did you do?
No, it was. They put a swab up your nose. Hold it up there. She told me it had to be up there for 20 seconds. So it's not like the flu test that a lot of us have taken, where they, put a swab up your nose and it's there briefly and they take it out. It is up in your nostril for, she said it has to be at least 20 seconds, and it does burn, and your eyes water, and, It is a little painful, but I would do it again, no question, if I felt the need. And again, I did this as a precaution. I really did not feel like I had it, but I fight allergies, and I had several things going on, and it was not the normal allergy type things that I normally have. I had some other side effects going on, and I just thought for safety precautions that I needed to be tested.
Yeah, I think that's really good, and I think a lot of people hopefully are taking that, making those choices to be protective and everything. So I guess I know Indiana just come up with starting Monday, as a mask rule. Law or whatever they want to put it. I don't know. I think Kentucky now has an interesting thing, is like a new travel advisory that I don't know how much that's going to affect what you do or anything. But if you want to kind of get some updates on COVID stuff and tournament things, go ahead.
Well, right now, the mask that, the proposal or whatever you want to call it that has been put out there, executive order, really hasn't affected outside sports. better, you know, we're still under social distancing and that those type of things, and we're doing mask as optional, asking parents to still bring their own seating and to social distance, space out, use those kind of precautions, but we're not mandating mask inside the park, nor do the players have to wear a mask. We are asking that they social distance as well when they come into the dugout. But mask itself at a ball game, I have not seen where that is mandated. It is suggested. And again, the new rule in Kentucky is groups of less than 10. Now, instead of, you know, groups of 50. But again, at a ballpark, I feel like we can do these things and do them safely with the cooperation of the parents. So we haven't changed anything to date. We're doing just as we have the last few weeks. And for the most part, I think it's gone pretty well.
Yeah, good, good. So it looks like maybe I think this might be we have a caller. And I want to make sure that I get to the caller here. And excuse me. Let's see. I didn't write down the phone number, so it's an 812 number. I think that's.
It's me, Holly. It's Jeff.
Jeff, how's it going?
Nicholasville. Good. I just was tuning in to more listen this time than talk. But if anybody has any particular questions about the park, I'd be happy to answer them.
Perfect. Okay. Well, what I'm going to do, Jeff, is unless Ron, you want to talk to got anything with Jeff you want to deal with? If not, I can put him on hold, and so we can keep some of the background noise down to a minimum.
No, I mean, Jeff and I talk on a daily basis. Again, very excited about the partnership that we've grown there at Nicholasville, the Memorial Sports Complex. We're doing quite well there, and I anticipate that it will continue to grow, and look forward to the future there, and appreciate the things that Jeff is allowing us to do and being a part of.
Deal.
Yep, and my feelings are the same. I mean,
good.
I'm actually kind of interested to see what other coaches are saying and what other field operators are saying, because we're all kind of on the same team here, even though on Saturday you know, might be competitors, but we all have the same interest here in that we just
for
like
sure.
to be able to have the kids play. So,
Yeah, for sure. So Jeff, have you been in contact, or are you in any kind of contact with the Champions? Does Champions still exist down that way?
Oh, absolutely. They've got a very good organization. I know several of the people involved. It's a very quality program, very good baseball people involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, absolutely.
Do they do a lot of softball, or do they do any softball at all, or is it just baseball?
I believe they're pretty much just baseball-oriented. They have a nice indoor practice facility that typically is fairly busy. I'm not quite sure what the association between KBC and Champions is in terms of who's in charge of what aspect of that. But, I will say that they're very well respected in this area and good bunch of people.
Yeah. 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 They've been there. Gosh, have they been there since, what, 2004-ish, maybe? Something like that?
That's before my time. I kind of got involved over here in 2012, and they were here when I showed up.
Yeah, yeah. I think
say they've been in existence for close to 20 years, and the KBC, that's Kentucky Baseball Club. But yes, they are a highly respected baseball program. I don't think they do any fast pitch, and the indoor facility that you mentioned, that has been open at least since maybe 2005, 2006, that time frame, possibly even before then. But I know it goes back to that around that time.
So, yeah, the Champions Academy, Baseball Academy that was in Louisville was back, I think they started around 2000, 2001. The owner was John Marshall, was a friend of mine. And I actually did some lessons, worked for him for a while back at one time. And then I remember they started, and it was based on memory. I don't know if this is fact, but I think so. They were Champions Baseball Academy. They actually had a Champions Baseball Academy in Cincinnati, and they put one in Nicholasville, and I think that was the one. And they actually built one in Florida, and they were going to do one in Taylorsville. And the one in Nicholasville is the only one that exists still today. It's done very well.
I think even at that time, John Marshall was even looking at one in Arizona at one time. I know John well, and you refreshed my memory. I believe John was with the Dodgers organization at one time. Is that correct?
I don't know. I don't know if it was the Dodgers. I know he was. He played. I was thinking it was Philadelphia. Was who he was
Greg
with, but I can't.
Been.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, he was.
I'd heard him talk about Fernando Valenzuela, however you say his name, a few times, and that he had played some ball with him, and, you know, it may have been Grapefruit League or something of that nature coming up. But I just associated that with the Dodgers, so maybe that's why I thought that.
There was, he was, he started his first facility was over by the zoo in Louisville. It was a small place there, and it grew so fast. And this is back, gosh, this has to be in the late 1990s. And it was back when almost nobody, there were no indoor facilities around. Of course, now they're popping up all over the place. But they last like maybe 2 years. But he built, had that leased a place. And it grew so big that it he had to build this brand new facility, and he built that place over at Jeffersontown. You, of course, been in there, and it was gigantic. Had an indoor indoor field, what, like 8 machines, pitching area over on the side. It was huge, and I think they just bit off too much more than they could chew. But he was did a great job, Again, I don't know exactly what happened. I got out of the – I wasn't associated with them for a while, and then I just heard everything went under and stuff. So I don't know what happened there, if he just decided to sell it or whatever. But good guy.
I don't have any idea either. But, at back in the day, and you remember it well, I mean, that's how you and I ended up meeting was through that program. You giving lessons to my son, but – yeah, back in the day, Lord, we used to have indoor baseball leagues. You had lessons out of there. You had all the batting cages. You had instruction. It was huge. And then he would tie in fall leagues where you played in a fall league over in the Linden area and got practice time in his facility through that. But at one time, he was blowing it up. And you know, I'm not sure either what happened as far as why it, you know, he was open, what, 7-8 years, maybe, possibly longer than that. But, it, you know, at one time he had it really going on for whatever reason. It took a turn, and it's now an electric company that's in that building.
Yeah, it's a big electric company. It said a huge – I was connected. Of course, I worked for them for a while, and they made some changes. And I'm not going to say over the air. John, I consider a good friend and respect him considerably amount. But it is my opinion he was getting business because you know, like that's why all of us, like I think you and I both were. We get into owning businesses. We're really not business people. I'm a athlete and coach, and I got into it, and I'm learning how to do a business. He was kind of the same way, and I think he got some advice, quite honestly, and I know some of the advice he got that I thought was pretty bad advice, and followed along with some partners that he picked up, and just made some choices that probably didn't pan out very good. But it's hard. Those indoor facilities like that, because it was gigantic and it had there were times I would do a hitting lesson in that infield. It was the infield section was big enough for a college or professional level infield. So it was huge. There'd be times I would do a hitting lesson by myself in that facility. It was just too much overhead and wasn't getting enough to pay it, but it was really good. I do want to tell a story real quick on that is we had a girl that was doing pitching. So we did softball and baseball there. And, we had a girl that was doing pitching lessons there for softball. She pitched, professionally for a long time, about 6'1", just a lot of fun to be around, very knowledgeable, very talented girl. And of course, in those days, and it's kind of the same way, it probably happens maybe at Nicholasville as well, as professional baseball players usually come from when they come home in the area from Louisville, they would come back and they would come over to that facility to get work in and things like that. Well, ultimately, somebody would challenge, I think her first name was Karen, which is literally her first name, not based on what we're talking about in society today. But her actually first name was Karen, and she was at some point somebody would challenge these professional, and there was a couple of big league, major league hitters would come in, and they would challenge her to see if they could hit her. And we'd all get into the infield section and stuff, and she would throw, and one person fouled off a pitch. That was pretty much it. There was no baseball player, professional player that could hit her. She was that good and stuff, so it was pretty interesting. So I had to share that, so apologize for that. But
you're fine.
So
I know he had some really good instructors over there, and I can't think of their names right off the bat, but I know he had a big fellow that was a catching instructor that I always thought was pretty impressive, and a black gentleman named Stone or Stoneman,
yeah,
something of that nature, that I thought was really good hitting instructor. But they really had it going on at one time, and it was a phenomenal indoor facility that I wish was still open, because I would love the opportunity to do weekend tournaments indoors.
Yeah.
I've done a few of those in Louisville, and unfortunately, the facility that we were using turned into an indoor tennis facility, but we used to turn teams away in the wintertime, having fast pitch softball tournaments playing indoor during winter. And I would love to have that opportunity again, come back around at some point somewhere. I even went up into Northern Kentucky last year and looked at an indoor facility. It wasn't built for this. It was actually a motocross indoor, having a dirt ground base. It was all dirt, had the rolling hills and stuff because it was built for motocross, but it was a big, I don't even know how to explain it, big rounded shape type building with the, like you see at these highway department, the plastic type roof. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's a rounded shape building, and it's a real heavy plastic that is the actual roof. Well, they had an indoor motocross set up in Northern Kentucky, and it was for sale. But it was big enough that we could have done fast pitch softball, and it's right outside of Cincinnati, and I actually looked at it last fall, I guess it was, and thought, you know, the downside of it was that it was 2.5 hours away from where I live at. Had it been in the area, you know, just outside of Louisville or something of that nature, I might have really took a look at trying to purchase that property. But I would love the opportunity to be able to do indoor fast pitch and baseball during the winter times. There's a need, there's a want. There are people that I know teams travel to, like Terre Haute, Indiana, out of Louisville on a weekly basis in the wintertime just to play, because they have indoor facilities up there that's large enough to do so. And, you know, there's a need around here, and it's something that I would love to get into at some point. And again, you know, we did it for about 3 years, and then that facility turned into a indoor tennis facility, and it killed what we were doing. But those was fun. Those were weekends that we would play 24/7. I mean, you'd start on Friday night and play all around the clock, and teams would play at 2 and 3 in the morning. It was like a slumber party. They enjoyed it. They had fun, and they were successful.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds cool. Yeah, I would say that if that would be a pretty big course endeavor and stuff, but some indoor place where you could do tournaments, because I do know a lot of my clients go all over, and they'll during the winter they'll talk about places that they play, which is none of them are really nice. I mean, not nice, but doesn't sound like of course an indoor place that has dirt gets pretty dusty and that sort of thing. It's hard to keep it
right.
Moist and stuff, but yeah, yeah, they had go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, the majority of them have AstroTurf inside. I am aware of a place down in around Murray, Kentucky, where apparently they do a rodeo, like a weekend rodeo out of a facility. It might even be on Murray State's campus where they use one of their buildings. And there for a couple weeks afterwards, they'll turn that in and play softball on it. I've heard of that. I have not been there. But, you know, the majority of them have indoor carpet, AstroTurf type carpet, and you play on that. A lot of crazy rules. I mean, the facility we had that we were playing out of was not full size, so you'd have balls that would hit the wall, and it was live off the wall. But teams know that coming in. They don't care. They're getting swings. They're getting ground balls in the infield. They're running the bases. You know, they're still playing, and they enjoy it. So, you know, you do create some craziness with some rules to get around a low ceiling or whatever. But, again, they know that when they come in, and they don't care. And they're getting to play. They're getting to continue to, you know, build on their craft. And it's good. And they look for this. And like I say, there's a lot of teams that travel 3 and 4 hours away in the wintertime because there's nothing locally for them to do here on that level.
Yeah, that's I'd be pretty cool to be able to do. So just give us again some for some new listeners, what do you have coming up here next few weeks, Ron?
Well, we're playing in Nicholasville again this weekend. I've got baseball and fast pitch playing up there. I've got some fast pitch locally here in Beachmont, in Louisville. We will be in Nicholasville and Beachmont every weekend until the end of October. I do have a college showcase coming up the 21st and 22nd of August and the 28th, 29th of August at Nicholasville, and I may have those dates off by a day. It may be a day later. I don't have that information in front of me, but after I said that, I think it's 29th and 30th and 22nd and 23rd. But Nicholasville, we will have college coaches on site, play tournaments, also have some skill sets and do some things. But Nicholasville, I'm planning on doing a couple of showcases in August, one in September, and one in October, I believe is what we've got on the calendar. We also have one that we hope to do in Johnson City, Tennessee, late October. Again, they're fighting this as bad as we are, and some of the parks that we used or we're supposed to use for the World Series are still closed. So, you know, it remains to be seen if we're going to get to do that one. And, of course, we're all concerned if we will even still be playing by then if the numbers keep going up and they keep coming out with new mandates. I could see us being shut down again. So it's, you know, it's been a very difficult year, as we all know. And, you know, teams on a weekly basis call in and say, hey, I just found out such and such has been tested. We're going to have to pull out. I've got a team that was in at Nicholasville this weekend, and the coach called me and said, hey, I had four girls just come back from Florida and they're quarantined, so we're out. That's an ongoing issue that we're dealing with. Dealing with it at the high school level and where I'm at as a athletic director. I mean, it's going to be that way until we get through this. And it's been difficult, as we all know. And, it's difficult on everybody. Restaurants. I talked to a friend of mine last night that owns a restaurant. And, he said it doesn't matter right now if they were to come back and say you could be 100%. He said people's just not ready to go inside and eat. And, his business is down. So it's a struggle there. And, it's the same everywhere.
Yeah, it's bad. And I had this conversation with somebody the other day where as a society, we're doing everything we can to we're trying to keep everybody healthy, but we're trying to keep it so that nobody goes under financially. But I don't know. It's almost like, I don't know if you can do both. I think it's as much as we keep slowing things down. I'm not commentating on what I think is the right thing to do. I mean, I'd hate to be in a position to tell the whole country this is what we have to do, what we can't do. But it's just a difficult situation because, as you said, like restaurants, there's restaurants in Louisville and Southern Indiana where I am. They're I see for sale signs, big chain type restaurants that have been packed before that just can't make it. I know my business is probably, I'm operating now about 40% of what I normally do. And of course, then unemployment, the $600 thing, which has been a big help for a lot of people, is finishing this month. So that's going to make it extremely difficult for a lot of people. It's just, I don't know. It's going to be, it's kind of sad, very sad.
It is. And you mentioned restaurants. There's an Old Charlie's that I frequent quite a bit and went by there the other day. And I have gone into a restaurant through this. My wife and I aren't ready to go inside. We'll call and get carry out, and I'll swing by and, have them bring it out to the car. But the reason I'm saying this Old Charlie's, I rode by there the other day and noticed it's closed. And, I don't know if places like that recover.
I know.
And, it's a sad time. It really is. But I think there's going to be a lot of businesses that don't bounce back from this and they don't recover. Is Jeff still on the line here?
He's here.
Jeff, do you want to share your thoughts on this? I know you own a gas station and several other businesses. How has this affected you? And I also know that with the Social Security, the unemployment that people are receiving, it's also hard to get some people to go back to work because they're sitting at home getting this check. And I know that for business owners, that has been an issue too, because I've got several friends that own businesses and they're having trouble keeping employees because finding employees because they're able to sit at home and, get the $600 check and not go out and have to work.
Well, it's the $600 plus the state benefits. So you have a lot of people. I mean, really the only businesses that I have that pay anywhere near $10 an hour would be the gas station and the baseball fields, the concession aspect of it. And we've had people for absolutely no good reason file for unemployment. They'll come in, they'll work 3 days, and then they won't show up. And all of a sudden you get something from the Kentucky Department of Unemployment that they file for unemployment based on separation or COVID. People are working the system. It makes it very hard to find people. And when you're giving somebody $900 a week to sit at home, and there's a huge number of jobs available, but they would lose money by going to work. You're not going to have people, go out. I don't have the benefit of being able to, what I call it, hide under the bed. You know, all of our businesses that we've got are essential businesses. So, you know, my people are working and we're masked and we're gloved and we're taking the precautions and we're wiping down the touch surfaces just like we do at the park. And, but it makes it really difficult. And what I'm seeing is a lot of the people that are working for me that are in that income range, they're a little upset with the people that won't come out because they've got an excuse not to, because they're making enough money. So I'm really hoping they don't extend the big bonus unemployment, you know, past the end of the month, because it's unfair to those people that, you know, do go out and work. Yeah, that's my opinion. You know, I could be wrong, but this,
On one side, I mean, what I remember hearing about this, I'm thinking, gosh, these people, I mean, it's lasted 4 months. It's like, at some point, yeah, you can live high, so to speak, without working. But when at the end of the month, what are they going to do? They got to, I mean, at this point, especially they've burned bridges at your place for sure. And maybe some other situations. And some people are just a little bit short-sighted, I think, thinking, well, I can get free money for 4 months and then not do anything, and then I guess go get another job somewhere at that point. I don't know. But it is – I hate when people do that, for sure.
Well, and that's the thing. It's being abused to some degree. And look, nobody wants anybody that gets thrown out of their house or doesn't have food to feed themselves or their family. That's not the point. But when you get a raise for not working, and if you really do the math on the $600 and you divide 600 by 40, that's $15. We now have a $15 an hour minimum wage, and you don't even have to work for it.
Mm-hmm. They're going to have to after Friday. I don't think they're going to extend it at all. From what I'm, if they did, if there's any extension from what I'm reading, it would be a considerable amount less, probably. But I don't see anywhere where anybody's talking about extending it, which I think is the right thing, because people have to get back to work, or these restaurants will close. That's one of the reasons places are closing, because they just can't get people to work.
It is, and mm-hmm. there's a huge pool of people that worked in the food service industry that are unfortunately now not able to work because either the restaurants don't have the need for the same staff. And those guys are available. I mean, they're available to work. And I think people are going to have to make some hard decisions here after that benefit goes away, of just maybe doing something they didn't anticipate doing. But there's help wanted signs everywhere in Lexington. You can't find people, you know, until this artificial enticement disappears in a week.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it said on one side, it's probably saved some people that literally were unemployed and didn't have, or, you know, they did literally lose their job because of it and couldn't get work immediately. And, and there's probably a lot of people that were making that amount of money. You know, they didn't really get a spike in pay, or even, because $600 a week, you know, was not as much as they were making. So it was enabled them to at least pay the rent and stay above water. So on one side, a lot of people benefit from it, and other side, a lot of people suffer from it. And that's kind of my point is, there's nothing we can do to benefit every single person. We have to almost say, well, we're going to make this choice that's going to benefit this group of people. Well, this choice hurts this group of people. It's really rough. It's a bad place.
And keep in mind that the $600 is the federal add-on money. You not only get the $600, you get the state benefit.
Exactly.
So there are people that are literally making $900 a week. That's $45,000 a year.
Right. Now, that's not going to – if they continue to stay unemployed, they're still going to get that $300-ish or whatever they qualified for per week.
Right.
So which is, I would think, difficult to live on. But, some people try, I guess.
Yep.
But, yeah. It's bad. Now you you've got the gas station, and then I guess you have employees for your facility there, right? Do you have people that do work for you there?
Yeah. A lot of them are the same people.
And you know
what's happening there is, I'm very, very proud of my people. They've thrown in here and they've figured out a way to cover all these hours along with me. But the problem is, you know, overtime clicks in at 40 hours. So, you know, I've got people getting 28 hours of overtime, which they deserve, and they get paid the time and a half, but it's great for them. It's good for me because we're covering the hours, but any benefit that you get from having the additional business, say for the tournaments, unless you can expand your payroll with more people, you're going to end up paying a substantial amount of overtime hours, which kind of cancels the benefit to the gas station.
Definitely.
From having the tournaments and the concession stand, because instead of $10, you're paying $15. Plus, we pay $1 an hour extra COVID. You know, while this COVID's going on, everybody gets an extra dollar an hour. So, it's hard to run a concession stand paying $16 an hour.
It's very difficult. I'm sorry to laugh, but yeah, in a sarcastic way, it is very, very difficult. Yeah, it's we're just in a, and then you end up charging more for your stuff possibly, and then people don't buy.
No.
I mean, it's just this big giant. Yeah, I'm sorry, you don't do that.
No, we don't do that. I mean, you can, I think the most expensive thing we have on the menu, we've got, you know, a pulled pork sandwich is $4, a chicken sandwich is $4. I mean, drinks are $1.50. You know, so, I mean, we keep it very reasonable. Some of the hot dogs, you know, I think hot dogs are $1.50, $2. So, I mean, we want to also consider the fact that the people that are coming to the event, they're watching their wallets too, and we want them to come out and have a nice time, not get gouged, and to come back. So I think Ron is in the same boat as I am, is we don't expect to really make much money this year, but we're building for next year to have favorable experiences where people, you know, because we got a very late start. I don't know if Ron talked about it in our last call, but I mean, we didn't even have security of the fields on his part, at least, until December, if not January, to where we came to an agreement, which is well past the time that a lot of the teams that would have come have already set their schedule. So he's doing a really good job of pulling teams in, and they're having favorable experiences, and he's keeping his tournament fees very reasonable. We've got a very reasonable gate in our concession. Prices are probably below average, and we've got a nice facility. So
it is,
you know,
nice
we're
facility,
building towards
yeah.
the future, just like any other small business person would do.
Yeah, yeah. The setup is super nice. I think, and as said, I think you're cleaning things up a little bit. It's, I mean, even when I was there, it looked very well. It looked like it was getting back in shape. It was very nice. I was very impressed.
We were working with people that, the same folks that worked for me at the gas station, plus a couple of people that were doing some work for free practice time. It took longer than I would have liked to get it looking the way it does today, but we really didn't have another labor pool to pull from because, you know, we hadn't taken in a dollar in the whole facility until the first turn, you know, the first event, 3 weeks ago. So, and we weren't sure that we'd be able to play. So how much money do you spend on a facility when you're not sure if you're going to even be able to use it in that year? So we got a late start, but I think we've caught up pretty pronto.
Yeah. Good deal.
No,
good
Holly,
deal.
When he says that, I mean, it was an extremely late start. I didn't meet Jeff I'm going to be close to the date, but don't know the exact date. But I got a phone call and asked if I would like to have lunch with this gentleman through a mutual friend. And they set up lunch, and it was like December the 18th. And that's the first time we ever sat down and even discussed the possibility of me operating out of this facility. And you yourself, you've been around this game long enough that most coaches sat down in, November, December to set their schedule for the following year. So we were taking on a facility and had not even agreed on dates, hadn't agreed on, you know, how we were going to operate, what our cost was going to be, how we were going to manage it, the whole nine yards. I mean, we had not even had a discussion. And we had lunch, left with a handshake. You know, basically I went home to put together some type of an agreement. Jeff himself was, you know, going to put together something as a counteroffer or whatever. But, you know, we were in very early stages of even negotiating how we could operate together. And, again, the park had been, you know, there's one field that is completely grown up that we're still trying to get back into operation. It's, you know, it's not playable at this time, but we're getting there. And a couple of fields were in pretty bad shape, but we were working toward that. And, again, putting a schedule out late, not knowing what to expect. And I've been very honest with Jeff, and Jeff will tell you that. I've told him straight up that, you know, there are certain dates, weekends that you're not going to play. I mean, if you play, your numbers are not going to be good. August typically is one of them. We're getting ready to reach into that that month, and I'm curious to see how it goes. August is typically a month when teams go through their tryouts, getting ready for the following year, because in travel ball, typically the season ends the end of July, and you start the next year in August for getting your points or whatever, depending on the organization you play in. So, you know, I told him all this up front. I pretty much put down and said, we'll try to run every weekend. However, these are weekends that are red flags that typically, if I wasn't in full control of the park and I was just going to a park and asking for 10 or 12 dates, these are weekends I would stay away from. And I told him that up front.
Yes.
We, you know, again, hitting the pandemic that we're in, we were supposed to play, I think, March 15th. And, again, I don't have a calendar in front of me. But March the 15th, around that time, was to be our first tournament. And we were going to have enough to play. I mean, I already had umpires scheduled. I already sent out a schedule to the teams. We were going to play, I think, had about 12 to 15 teams. It wasn't going to be huge, but it was going to be one that got us started. And the pandemic hit. So we had already started putting in some work on the complex, getting fields ready and this and that. Well, now, as Jeff said, you know, you don't want to put in money into the park when you don't know that you're going to play. So we fell back behind again. The fields grew up. They were not being taken care of during that time. And again, you know, no fault of Jeff's. He, you know, you don't put in money when there's nothing coming back. So as it got to the end of June, he busted his tail and had people out there to get the park up and running. And each week, I think you're seeing a little improvement. But there are things on the table that we want to do that I think in the future we will do. And once we get to where I want to be, I think teams will be lining up to play there. It's got tremendous potential. I know what the park once was. And back in the day, it was probably one of the best parks in the state of Kentucky. I believe we can get back there again. And you know, it's going to be baby steps. I'm new to that area. I do have teams up in that area that know us. Jeff's starting to see that. We're, you know, we've been doing 23, 24 teams a weekend, which, you know, are decent weekends. They're not weekends that I jump up and down about because I know that we're capable of doing better. And in time, we will. But under the circumstances, I think we've done well. I think Jeff has been pleased with what we're doing and the progress that we're making. and the future's bright up there. And I truly believe that Jeff and I will end up being partners on this for years to come.
That's my hope. And Ron knows very well that I want to go home. I'm spending way too much time in Lexington. My wife's starting to feel like a widow over there. So, yeah, that's the goal.
So, Jeff, you're from Nicholasville? Look,
pardon?
You're from Nicholasville?
Myself? No, I'm from Evansville, Indiana.
Oh,
yeah.
Evansville. Okay, that's the 812 number. Okay.
I've promised him I'm going to get him home. he has basically lived down here for 4 years because he's taken care of those properties there in Nicholasville. And I cannot imagine that he's doing that and still keeping mama happy at home. I mean, his wife lives in Nicholasville.
Mama's not happy sometimes.
he tries to do the back and forth, and it's you know, it's got to be very difficult on him and his family, and we're going to make this arrangement where I'm overseeing the park, and he can go home, and he will reap his benefits and be at home as well. So that's the plan, and I see moving forward that that will happen.
Well, and I'll just add one thing, you know, about Ron. Ron mentioned at this point, he and I don't even have a written agreement, but I'm comfortable enough with Ron that his handshake is worth more than most men's signed contracts.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I think he feels the same way about me. So it's just a good relationship.
It has been a good relationship, and I think Holly has been around me enough to know that I think she will tell you that I have never told her anything that I didn't hold up on my end, and if I did, it wasn't intentionally by any means. And I'm old school. That's the way Mom and Dad taught me. I think you're only as good as your word, and I also want to be able to look myself in the mirror and know that I did the best that I could do and did what I tried to, you know, tell you and convey to you that I was going to do.
Yeah, and you don't last
so far,
very long.
That's been gospel.
Yeah, yeah. I still don't think you last very long in business. Eventually people know that you're not someone who can be trusted. And if you, as long as you all been doing this, you don't last very long, I don't think. In that regard, I don't think. I mean, I guess there are people out there that keep burning bridges and keep lying. But anyway, no. I think I think Ron promised me in Johnsonville a margarita. Maybe that's the only thing that when the coaches get together that he owes me. But that's pretty much it.
You just might have to change the venue on that, Holly.
If you didn't get that, Holly, if you didn't get that, that's on you.
Yeah, that's true. You did offer it. I said no.
That's on you. I take the whole crew out many a times down there, and if they order whatever, you know, I take care of them. And if I owe you that, we'll have to catch up on that later. But I will make good on that. I'm not aware of that happening, but
I'll be glad to make good
on that.
Yeah, just kidding. Yeah. Well, it is exciting, as I said. It's a great look. You know, we talk about it all the time. The location is really good. The facility is outstanding. Everything is very promising for sure.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, right there in basically central Kentucky, and you've got such an outreach. You know, Louisville, 1.5 hours. You've got Cincinnati, 2 hours away. West Virginia. Tennessee, you know, it's so easy to get to, and there is a need over there. There's a desire over there, and there, you know, there's other people running events. I'm not saying that we're the only one there, so it's going to be great. I mean, we've got competition, but I also hear from teams that are excited about us being there, and I think in time we're going to grow and have a good chunk of that market, and I'm excited about the opportunity.
Good deal. Competition is good. Competition makes us better. So,
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Makes us work harder. There's nobody else. So I haven't heard from Mark in a while. So he hasn't been, he was here last week, but we didn't get a chance to talk to him. And anything else, Ron, going on that you want to share? We can kind of start getting off here.
No, it's kind of slow. I mean, at the moment, as I say, we're getting ready to hit August. I'm already, Jeff and I are in some conversations about moving forward. We're going to operate next year and working out some agreements there, and that will allow me to get a schedule out much earlier this year than we did. And I'm hoping eventually that we add a few fields up there and we can do some larger events and do some like 4-day events, nationals and things of that nature. But, that's way down the road, maybe a few years, but I'm just really excited about that park, and I think things are going pretty well, to be honest, considering the times that we're in.
Good
well,
deal.
And what Ron says is true, and I did buy the 40 acres adjacent to the park, so we've got the room to do it.
Cool. Good deal. Well, with that said, if that's all we got and anything else, we'll talk to everybody next week, and we'll kind of go from there. Does that sound good?
That sounds
good.
Great.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
you have
it.
Have a great day. Jeff, I'll be in touch. You all have a great day. Thank you all very much.
All right.
Sounds
Thanks.
Good.
Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So,
you all have a great day.
I'm still here if you were going to say something.
No, I was just stuttering around with thinking about what to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But no, we're good. We're good.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. So one of the things, too, for those that are listening, I'm doing a webinar on recruiting videos webinar. Check out my website for some other webinars that I'm putting together. So if you're interested, if you've got your daughter is getting ready to think about going to college, putting together some free webinars to help that process about profiles and emails and how to go about contacting coaches and that sort of thing. So that's at nationalfastpitchacademy.com. That said, we'll talk to you all later, and everybody have a great day.
Thank you.
Well, that is it for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget you can subscribe to the show by clicking the red follow button on the main page. More information about Gap to Gap Radio, National Fast Pitch Academy, and Future Stars of Sports can be found on the National Fast Pitch Academy website at nationalfastpitchacademy.com. Join us each Thursday at 12 o'clock noon Eastern Time, where Ron and I will talk softball. Have a wonderful day.